Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your love and your mercy. We pray, Father, that, Lord, as we look into the things of your word, that you would just bless us. Bless your children. Bless the sheep of your pasture. We pray, Father, that you would pour your Holy Spirit out upon your people. For we can do nothing without your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit that teaches, that guides, that leads us into those fruitful passages. We pray, Father, that as your word goes forth today, that it would have its effect in our lives, that we would be transformed by the renewing of our mind as we look into the things of your word and as we contemplate them, and as your Spirit gives us understanding. Thank you, Lord, that you have not left us orphans, but you have sent your Spirit, the earnest of your Spirit, the down payment to us to let us know that we have been chosen, that we will be with you when we leave this world. So we thank you, Lord. We love you. Feed us today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And if you need a Bible, we have some on the table over there. You can follow along. So by way of review, of course, we're going to go to chapter 6. Or I'm sorry, chapter 5. I'm at chapter 6. In verse 17 of chapter 5, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." The Bible talks about that as we come to know Jesus Christ, or as Jesus Christ has allowed us to be born again, he has chosen us from the foundation of the world. And he comes to dwell within us. In verse 19, he kind of spells it out in pretty plain English. That God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespass unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So the example that Jesus came, left heaven, left the glory of heaven, took on flesh, and dwelt among us. To show us the example. Jesus did all things by the Holy Spirit. And he didn't do anything of any of his miracles or anything that he said that wasn't by the Holy Spirit. To show us that we are to live the same way. If we don't live the same way, then we're running on our own steam. We're running on our own power. And that's where the corruption begins. That's where we start to deceive ourselves, thinking that we're something when we're not. Anything that we start to think about in prideful tones, like, look what I have accomplished. Beware. These things are of the flesh. Humility is a sign of walking by the Spirit. Because if we're walking by the Spirit as Jesus walked by the Spirit, he did not boast of himself. He didn't promote himself. He didn't send heralds before him saying, hey, here is the Christ. In fact, he told people not to say that he was the Christ, if you remember. Why? Because he wanted to do it by the Word. The Word was supposed to have its effect on those who had been chosen. And on those who had not been chosen. You see, Jesus chose us to walk with him, to be with him forever from the foundation of the world. He chose each and every one of us who have said yes to his offer of salvation. And what's the offer of salvation? That our sins have been forgiven. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. We read that in John chapter 16, where he talks about, or 15, I'm sorry, where the Holy Spirit comes and convicts us of sin. Now, have we been convicted of sin, folks? When you sin, does not the Holy Spirit come and convict us? And our conscience is heavy because of those things? And he says, come to Christ, who can forgive these things. That's what it's about. This is what we really need at the core of our salvation. Because it is the core of our salvation. And when we stray from those things, that's when we get into trouble. Now, the Bible is full of different subjects that we can pursue. Eschatology, the things of the last days. A lot of people want to know what's going on. They want to compare the Bible with what's going on in our world today. And that's great. And as so we should. Some people want to get into historical facts of well, the Bible talks about these people. Where are they in secular history? I want to try to join them together. That's well and good as well. But you see, sometimes we get lost in those things and we forget the basics. Sometimes as we're doing our eschatology or our biblical history or whatever, we start to go on different tangents. And if people don't start agreeing with our assumptions or our discoveries, if you will, then we kind of cast them off as, well, they're not enlightened enough. Or, you know, perhaps they're not even saved. Beware, brothers and sisters. Beware of those things. This is why, if you're ever wondering, why I go over the basics every single Sunday. Because we need to remember the basics. We need to remember from whence we came. Everybody comes through the same way. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin. Then He convinces us that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. He came to forgive us our sins. And in verse 21 it says, "For He hath made Him," that is, the Father hath made the Son to be sin for us, who knew no sin. None of us can say that we've never sinned. Only Jesus Christ never sinned, and the Father made Him to be sin for us. Well, how do we follow that example? Well, we don't. But we know that we are sinful flesh, and that the Father sent Jesus Christ to cleanse us from that sin. 1 John 1:9. If we confess, if we are humble and realize that, hey, I have sinned. Now, everybody has sinned. And anybody that doesn't say it, well, 1 John 1:8. If we say we have no sin, we lie. And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful. Who? Jesus Christ is faithful. If we confess, if we humble ourselves and say, Lord, You're holy, I'm not. I'm sinful, You're not. And You said in Your word, and I'm going on Your word, that if I confess my sin, then I will be forgiven. Just as Peter asked Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother? Even seven times? And the Lord looked at him and says, no, 70 times seven for the same offense. This is how faithful Jesus Christ is. Because He knows our frame. He knows that we're but dust and ashes. He knows that we're sinful flesh and we are prone to sin. So when we hear of others that are sinning, what do? Do we turn up our nose at them? Do we point our bony finger at them and say, oh, you're condemned, boy, you're going to hell? But, you know, I mean, nobody walks with Jesus and sins. The Bible tells us that clearly. That should be a sign for us to realize our own humble self, that we are prone to the same sins as we see in others. And we do what I ask every single Sunday, pray for the body. We go to the Lord for that person, not in condemnation, but in coming alongside to encourage. Encourage them to repent of that sin so that they can remember the fellowship. That's what we are. See, remember what it said before? He hath committed us the word of reconciliation. Not condemnation. Condemnation is judgment, and that's reserved for the Son of God. That's when He puts in His sharp sickles and reaps the earth. When all is said and done, He is the judge, but we are ambassadors for Him. So the words that we speak, if they're speaking of the word of God, then they were speaking His words. And it's if we were speaking for God to them. He's using us, using our words for reconciliation. Say it with me. Reconciliation. What does that mean? It means bringing two parties together. Jesus Christ reconciled God and man by His death on the cross. We reconcile man to God by giving forth the word. By doing the things that Jesus did. Jesus gave forth the word. And He did it in such a way that He was invisible. If you ever look at that. They gave glory to God. Whenever He did a miracle, they praised and worshiped God. Jesus was kind of step back and allow God to get the glory. Just like we. When we see that the Holy Spirit is moving on somebody's lives and their lives are changed because they've heard the word, we step back and we allow God to get the glory. We don't stand in the way and say, well, I helped. If it weren't for me, you wouldn't have heard the word. So, praise be to me. Oh yeah, give some to God. Yes, indeed. But that's that pride thing again. That's that pride thing. And we need to guard against that. It doesn't matter how much you know. It doesn't matter. Because the Lord gave you that knowledge. He gave you the insight. He gave you the compassionate heart to care that somebody else is not walking with the Lord. See, we don't know really in ourselves who is saved and who is not saved. There may be people in this room here that think they're saved, but they're really not. They're just deceiving themselves. That's a possibility. Everywhere you go, that's a possibility. So what's our attitude according to those things? We pray for those. We pray for each and every person to be truly born again. Not to be deceived. And it's that you might not even be able to tell. They may have fooled everybody, including themselves. So we need to pray for one another. Going back to the beginning. Because he died for my sin. I have no reason to boast. I didn't do anything. I really didn't do anything. Oh yeah, I accepted it. But why? It was the prompting of the Holy Spirit that allowed me to do that. Because I was chosen. I had no part or parcel in any of it. He chose me. I wasn't around when he chose me. How many, well, I mean, I'm probably older than most of you here, except for Doug. But, no, I'm older than Doug, actually. But he chose us from the foundation of the world, before any of us was even created. He chose us. So what did we have to do with it? You know, the old saying goes that, you know, yeah, it's a good thing that the Lord chose me before the foundation of the earth, because if he was to choose me now, he'd change his mind, because I'm such an evil character. But the Lord is not like that. He chose us from the foundation of the earth, and he gave us the faith to believe. So we have no reason at all to boast or even to be prideful. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so in chapter 6, we see, we then, Paul is saying, as workers together with him. With who? With God. Not with each other. We are workers with God. We are being used of God in this capacity. I beg you. This is the same beg as we saw in chapter 12 of the book of Romans. Remember? I beseech you. I beg you. Okay? Be not conformed to this world. But he's saying here, I beg you that you receive not the grace of God in vain or in an empty manner. I beg you, don't receive the grace of God. Now, he's saying in verse 2, he kind of clarifies it, but he is muddying it up the waters a little bit in a lot of ways. In my mind, it took me a long time to figure out what it was that he was saying here. He says, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. And in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And so when I went back to that, the first verse, he said, receiving the word of grace, or receiving not the grace of God in vain. What is the grace? Grace is unmerited favor. It's unearned favor from God. But that's not all it is. Yes, it is favor, but it's also power. And power comes by the word of God. And in this instance, that's what Paul is saying here. Hey, we give forth the word. Now, Paul was an evangelist. You know, Paul was out there preaching the word to whoever would hear. Now, today we have evangelists. Greg Laurie just had his Harvest Crusade out there, and umpteen thousands of people were looking, you know, were tuning in and listening to that. And that's a great thing. And we need evangelists out there to do that. But the word of God does a multiplicity of things. That even though we're saved, we still hear the evangelist. Why? Because it's an encouragement to us. And sometimes we need the rebuke of the word. Sometimes we get settled into who we are and what we've done and where we're going and all of these things that we forget the simplicity of it all. And so to hear the gospel message given forth is needful for us, because we need to be reminded time after time after time that it's all of God and none of us. So when he says receiving the grace of God empty, you know, so that there's no effect, you see, the Word of God has its effect. It's going to have its effect on your life. Now, you have the ability to say yes, and you have the ability to say no. Now, before you were born again, you had no ability to say no to sin. You did sin because it was the natural thing for you to do. But now that you're born again, all things have been cast aside. Behold, all things become new. You have been set at liberty. Liberty to do what? To say no to sin. Not to do whatever it is that you want to do. I think in Romans, Paul really covered that. Hey, shall we receive the grace of God so that we can sin? No. Heaven forbid. God forbid that we should do that. But we now have the ability, the power, to obey God. We are able to obey what he tells us to do. If he says that this is sin, we now have the ability, the power, to say no to that sin. We have that ability now. Why? Because we're born again. Because we have God living within us. That's what Paul is trying to tell us here. Now he said, hey, I have heard thee in a time accepted. Now this is from Isaiah 49, verse 8. And he tacks on himself, now is the accepted time. When you hear the word of God, when the word of God goes out, it's now is the accepted time. Are you going to accept that word that you get? Yeah, you may be born again already, but you need to accept the word as it comes in. Is it convicting you? Then accept it and follow the natural course of falling down and asking forgiveness. Is it pricking your hearts for the first time that you need a Savior? Then now is the time to accept. Now is the accepted time. When you hear the word, when the word is still in your ear, when Jesus gave the parable, remember he gave the parable of the soil? A sower went forth to sow some seed, and some seed fell among the rocks and the thorns, and some fell among the footpaths. And some fell on good soil. The first thing was is that when the word comes to those who are of the rocky soil, the devil comes and takes that word and snatches it out of the way. So now is the accepted time when the word of God goes forth. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today you are saved. Jesus says, to know him, that is Jesus Christ, is eternal life. So we aren't waiting for eternal life. We have it now because we know Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is eternal life. He is the giver of life. He came to give us life and to have it more abundantly. So in verse 3 he goes and says, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Now, This, I'm convinced, in today's day and age, has been highly ignored by most folks. A lot of people feel that it's their ministry to be offensive. This is how we get people to pay attention to what we're saying. If we're offensive to folks, if we do things that are extraordinarily out of character with the Word of God. In other words, by any means necessary, let's get them into the kingdom. But that's not God's way. That's not God's way at all. He sent, in the Old Testament, he would send prophet after prophet after prophet to a people that would just turn their backs on the one who would give them life. So if it were by any means necessary, then everybody would be saved. But that's not God's way. God's way is through his word and through his word alone that people come to know the Savior. And without the Holy Spirit, we just can't understand those things because the natural man doesn't understand the things of God. They don't even enter into his mind. So it's the Holy Spirit that comes and gives us understanding. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. Now be careful here. Because he's going to go through a whole list of things. And we need to be mindful. Because when we read these things, our flesh immediately starts to spring up and say, okay, let me do a checklist of things that I'm doing. okay? Let me do a checklist of things that I'm not doing, and then we can see the balance sheet and see how this is going to work out for me. So he's going and he's saying, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. Now, this is going to be one of those really long sentences. I don't think this thing ends until verse 16 or something, or 15 or something like that. But notice all of the commas after, at least they are in my Bible. He says, but on all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. Now these things are all, you know, detrimental to the flesh. It makes the flesh cringe. Okay? But we like to, you know, as we start to notice it, we see in much patience. Now we know that we do not produce patience, do we? Who produces patience? God does, because it's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Huh? Love, joy, long-suffering, patience, goodness, mercy, faith, and all of those fruit of the Spirit. So if it's a fruit of the Spirit, it's not something that we can produce. But we endure these things, which produces the patience in us, such as afflictions. Everybody loves afflictions, right? Everybody asks for afflictions in their prayers. Lord, just afflict me so that I can have patience, right? In necessities, I don't have anything, right? In distresses, I am distressed because that horn is honking right now. Somebody pray that horn would see. No. In stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. All of those things. We try to stay away from those things. But if you're a child of God, these things will happen to you. They will come upon you. Jesus says, in this world, you shall receive tribulation. Because that's all this world has to offer. It's hard times. It's bad times. The emptiness. That's what the world offers us. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. All of these things are what we receive because we go through those things that were aforementioned. We get pureness. Pureness of what? Pureness of heart. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. How is this? It's because we see the world as it is, as emptiness, as fading away. And we don't set our mind on them. We look at the kingdom to come. And therefore, we're keeping ourselves pure from the world. We're not being stained by the things of this world. And Paul's going to come by a little later. He's going to say, hey, look, you know, keep yourself from the world. Don't get involved in these things. Don't be unequally yoked. Pureness, by knowledge. The Lord gives us knowledge of the things that are going on in this world. We see in the background, we can see the corruption. We can see that this world is not worth getting involved in. It's just passing away. And what we're here to do is to be a witness to those who are in the world, in our own sphere of influence. It's not a lot of us that are going to go out there and be on the world stage and preach the gospel like a Billy Graham or the Greg Laurie's or of the evangelists of the past. But we are going to have an influence on the people around us. Our husbands, our wives, our brothers, our sisters, our friends, our co-workers, our school classmates, or whatever sphere of influence you're in, you are going to have an effect, either good or bad. Are you going to shine forth Christ, or is it going to be of your own flesh? You see, these are the things that... must be some good stuff, man, because the enemy is definitely trying to keep you from hearing it. Thank you, Lord. By long-suffering. See, I was just getting to the long-suffering part here. Love suffereth long. It's not in this chapter. That was the last chapter, so moving on. But long-suffering, by kindness. This is what produces from us. See, the Corinthian church was getting hard and cold because people were coming against us. And they were. They were coming against, as the world comes against us. When we preach the gospel, when we talk about Jesus, boom, man, we are a target. And the enemy is going to come, and he's going to put people in our path that are so anti-Christ, not the Antichrist, but so you think sometimes, but that it's going to be, you know, are we going to just be silenced because of the opposition? Or are we just going to live our lives? Well, that's what the Corinthian church was going through. This is the reason for the letter, is he's going to reveal a little bit. Not to give anything away, but, you know, he's going to talk about, hey, you're under so much pressure. And so he's listing all of these things. It's by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. Not fake love. You see, fake love is going to dissipate as soon as opposition comes. But real love is going to be the test. And who's that for? Is it for the witness? No, it's for you. You are going to be a partaker of love unfeigned. Love not faked. Not produced of yourself. That's why these hard things come to you. To show you that you're actually running under the Holy Spirit's power and not your own. Because you, as a person, are going to be easily offended. You know, somebody's going to come look at you cross-eyed, and you're going to be offended by that. But if you're running under the power of the Holy Spirit, that's not going to happen. Because you're moving and breathing under His power, under His authority, under His steam. You have died to yourself, so those things don't bother you anymore. Somebody says a harsh thing? No, it's not easy. It takes practice. That's where the long-suffering comes in. That's where the knowledge comes in. That's where the pureness comes in. And sometimes there's that pendulum. Sometimes we can swing one way where we're helping the Lord out. Anybody ever help the Lord out? Oh, Lord, let me help you out here. Let me put some of my love in there. And as soon as opposition comes, oh, I've had enough of this. Okay, we're going the other way. We're going to hate them. We're going to pray that you smite them, Lord. On your keyboard, there's a big smite key on there. Let's hit that. Okay, target them. But in verse 7, he makes it quite clear to us where the power comes from. Not only from the Holy Ghost, not just. You see, there are three members of the Trinity. There's the Father, there's the Son, and then there are the Holy Spirit. And you cannot do anything without the three. You need all three. So just running under the power of the Holy Spirit is good. But if you're not backing it up by the Word of God, you're going to get into all manner of error, which is what he's talking about here, by knowledge, okay? By pureness. All of these things happen because the Holy Spirit takes those things out of the way. However, by the Word of truth, by the power of God, hence the grace that we were talking about before. This is the grace. This is the power of God. By the Word of truth. We need to have a steady diet of the Word of God. Otherwise, we're just going to start making stuff up. And we will, too. I'm this way because I'm so much better than all of you. I have been chosen because I have special gifts that the Lord has bestowed upon me. Hogwash! We are all on an even keel. We are all sinners before God. The Lord chooses to use each and every one of us in a different capacity. But when we do things for the Lord, it's because He, and He alone, has equipped us to do these things. Sometimes our talents, sometimes those are the biggest hindrances to us than can be imagined. Because the Lord chooses to use the humble. He chooses to use, in the world's eyes, the useless to overcome the world. He chooses the foolish things of the world to confound, to confuse the wise. And so if there are some people that are great oratories or whatever, and, well, you wonder, well, why didn't the Lord choose that person? Because they have their own gift. And they would be so stumbled by that because they would think it was because they were something. But to be good and to be used of the Lord, we need to, in our own mind, be humble. We need to become useless in the world's standards. We need to die to ourselves so that the Lord can raise us up. And when He raises us up, it's by the Word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. In other words, we need to be surrounded by these things. If we don't have the Word of God, if we don't have the power of God, if we don't have the righteousness of Christ, we are going to get hammered. We need to have that protection. We need to not only know what the Lord has, what the Lord is, and the power and where it comes from, but we need to know that strong tower to run into when the hard times come. Otherwise, we're just going to be sitting out there with our bare face hanging out, and we're just going to be pummeled by the world. That's what the world wants to do. By honor, by dishonor, by evil report, by good report, as deceivers and yet true. Being reported of as deceivers. And that's that's the favorite topic of the world today. Oh, let's find a Christian and just really hang them up out to dry. Let's find all of the skeletons in their closet and, oh, look what you did, and look what you did. You know, how can I believe you because of what you have done in the past? How many of you have been stilled because of your past? The things that you did yesterday. How can I tell somebody about the Lord because I'm such a sinner, and this is what I did yesterday? How many of you have been frozen by that? I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to sit there and tell somebody about Jesus if I'm not following after Jesus. That's the common ploy of the enemy. That's what we're talking about here. By honor, by dishonor. We are only honorable by what the Lord does for us, not for what we do for the Lord. We don't do anything for the Lord. We're just a corpse floating around, you see. And He breathes life into us and allows us to be useful. Honor and dishonor. By evil report, by good report. Has anybody ever slandered anybody else? Has anybody been slandered here? Nobody? Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that. You have? Okay, good. There's one. Me too. Yeah, we have been. Because we're targets of the world. The world wants us to be that target. He wants us to get out there so that they can just hold us up to scrutiny. But we have one thing. We have the righteousness of Christ on the left and on the right, meaning that He is our shield. He is our buckler. He is our strong tower that we run into when trouble comes. And we need to know when to do that. Whenever trouble comes is when we need to do that. As unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Now you can look at this list and you can see the contrast that Paul is making here between the physical and the spiritual. You see, and then the last thing, when he's talking about having nothing in this world, but having, possessing everything in the world to come. Really? Seriously? Oh, ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. In other words, I am going to speak to you. My heart is open to you. I have such love for you, folks. I cannot be quiet. You need to have this instruction. You need to know this information that I'm passing through. Now, it says in verse 12, ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. In other words, people have come against them, and they're now restraining themselves from speaking. They won't speak because of the persecution that has happened. Being a young believer, they don't know the rudiments of walking spiritually. And that's what goes on. And that kind of takes me back to what I said during the messages, or the announcements today, is we need to be independent of each other, a believer. We need to have that relationship with God so that when these storms happen, we will have a strong tower to run into. We will have that anchor that when the house is blown against, that we're not going to crumble. And this is what would happen to the Corinthians. They came against the Corinthians and they just clammed up. It just says, no, you know, I'm going to resist doing these things. I'm going to, now, and so going back to what he said, don't receive the word in vanity. Don't receive the grace of God in emptiness. Allow the Holy Spirit to do His work. Yes, it's going to be painful. Yes, you may be put to death, but this is all a part of what God wants to do for you. You need to be a testimony. You need to be a witness. Stephen was no greater witness than when he was being put to death. Think about that. Here he is being stoned to death, trying to minister to the very people that are stoning him, and what does he say? His heart was enlarged, and he opened his mouth and said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Man, would you be able to say that? I'd have a tough time. Lord, not too late. You can still hit that smite key on that keyboard. Stop them guys from pelting me with those rocks. But not Stephen. Because why? Stephen saw a vision of the Lord. He says, I looked up and I see the Lord standing on the right hand of the Father. Do we have that vision? You see, do you know the Lord like that? To where He is and what's going to happen when you leave this world? Is it going to be a time of dread? Oh man, I need to cling to this life because I don't know what's going to happen. Remember we said before, by knowledge, we know that to be absent in the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. See, so when we do these things, that's why we practice when we read the word. I read a verse, you guys read it in unison. So it's good for the tape. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children. Be ye also enlarged. Be ye enlarged. You are my children. Do as I'm doing. I am enlarged for you, but you're all restricted. Don't unloose yourself. Loosen up and allow the Spirit to work through you. Be enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And here we go again. But look at it from a different light. Now, this scripture has been used for folks that have been, you know, talking about getting married and things like that. And it applies. But take a look at, just stand back a little bit. And see what Paul, in the context of what Paul is talking about here, he's saying, hey, you've been restricted because of people coming against you. But don't be unequally yoked with them. In other words, don't take their opinion as your own. Okay? They have an opinion because they're being ruled by a different spirit. Okay? Don't let that impregnate your knowledge, your experience with the Lord. You see, you know that He has done these great things and He continues to do these great things. Don't be unequally yoked with them. Don't take their opinions as your own. Because we don't have the same fellowship. We, as believers, have fellowship with Jesus Christ. They do not. Okay? They don't have fellowship with Jesus Christ, but you do. So their opinions are just that, their opinions. Let them stay their opinions. Don't let your opinion waver because of what somebody else says. So often, and I've been caught up in this too, especially in this day and age with the bloggers, you know. A lot of things going on in the blogosphere, you know, somebody says something and it's, you know, well, this person's doing this and that person's doing that. And we tend to, in our minds, we grab hold of those things as our opinion, even though we don't know the people, but we know that, hey, these names are being associated with other people, so that means they must be in the same league with them. Not so. You see, you're taking somebody else's opinion and making it your own without any research or anything else like that. We need to judge things on a one-to-one basis. If somebody is preaching heresy, so be it. That person is. But if not, if we've never heard it, if all we have heard is good things, then somebody is slandering somebody else to make a name for themselves. Their opinions are now becoming my opinions. So I had to give up those blogs. I can't do it anymore. It's confusing. It's crazy. But everybody will be judged according to their own sin. Whether good or whether bad. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And so, what do? We pray for those folks. If somebody misspeaks, then we pray for them. We pray for us that we don't hold things against other folks. That people are going to misspeak. People are going to make mistakes. Believe it or not, I know it's going to be hard, but I make mistakes. Yes. Is that your car alarm going on? and we have to get over ourselves. And this is where the humility comes in again. If we look at somebody else and see their sin so plainly, then obviously, folks, there is a beam in our own eye that needs to be plucked out. And we need to go before the Lord. Lord, if this thing is so, then I pray that your Holy Spirit do the work that you need to do in my life and theirs. Okay? And if the Lord should put upon your heart, after he has cleansed you, to speak to somebody, make sure it's done in humility and in love. You cast a finger at somebody because, I don't think that your life is really up to the snuff that I think it ought to be. Well, guess what? My life isn't up to the snuff that I think it ought to be either. So, before I'm going to start talking about somebody else's life, I need to examine my own life. You see? And God, the God that is able to clean my life up, now believe this or not, he is able to clean up that other person's life so much better. So much better. You don't know what people are going through at any given time. The world, the weight of the world may be crashing down on the shoulders of somebody, and all you can see is this itty-bitty thing that, well, you know what, I don't really like the look on your face. I have a degenerative hip. And yeah, it's making me look like I am upset about something or whatever. And that's just a minuscule thing. But people are going through hard times. People are, they may be upset about things. Things at work, things at home. It doesn't matter. But we need to pray first before we speak. Please pray first before you speak. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And we walk about with the living God in our hearts. We are the witnesses for him. We allow him, by saying no to sin, to let him shine forth. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Is he talking here that we shouldn't walk around with sinners? Then we wouldn't be able to gather here. So that's not what he's talking about at all. What he's talking about here is not to be a partaker of their sins. You see that they have sins, don't do it. It doesn't matter if they're doing it, they're not believers. Don't you get caught up in it. Don't let that opinion be yours either. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can keep away from those things. But without the power of the Holy Spirit, we cannot do those things. So we need the Holy Spirit. We need to have him coursing through our veins all the time. Jesus says, ask and it shall be given you. And when you're done asking, ask again. And continue asking repeatedly. Just like a child, like a grandkid or something, asking for a cookie. Do they just stop once because you say no? Heck no! No, I want a cookie! And they go on and on and on until you either give them a cookie or kill them. You know, it doesn't... You're ruining my life! And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. This earth is passing away, and this is what the Lord wants to be to you. The world casts you off as unclean. The world puts you down and wants to kill you. But the Lord says, I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That's what he wants for you. And yet, as we look at the Old Testament, as we're going through 2 Kings, we see that the children of Israel didn't want any of it. The Lord sent prophets time and time again to warn them about the things that were going to happen. He stretches out his arms. And they still reject it, as the people will today. The people will reject the message that you have to say. But this, my friends, pertains to you. This is your anchor, that the Father loves you, and he wants you to be his sons and daughters. That's why he did what he did. So so that you will be what He wants you to be, with Him forever. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You for, Lord, Your Holy Spirit that teaches us. And now I pray, Father, that as we go through this life, as we go into the areas that we go through in our day-to-day walks, Lord, that You would be glorified. But it would be by Your Spirit that we do these things. So, Father, be glorified in us today. We love You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.